Ladies and gentlemen, life is about making decisions. And right now, I made a decision. My favorite team in all of sports, and if you know me, you know I watch a tremendous amount of sports, all sports. It doesn't matter. If it's on, I'm watching it. My favorite team in all of the sports landscape, the Chicago Bears. One thing is, we have a curse. Just like the Chicago Cubs, my second favorite team had, they had a curse. Then they won a World Series and the curse was gone. Well, the curse currently is the Chicago Bears have not had a top five quarterback in the NFL ever. They've been around a long, long time, ladies and gentlemen. Ask your great, 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 great grandparents. The Bears were around then. Nevertheless, I made a decision. The Bears need to draft Caleb Williams. And I'm going to explain this. So don't get all mad for all the people that love Justin Fields and don't listen to all my argument. And if you don't like Caleb Williams, still listen. If you're a Bears fan, an NFL fan, if you like sports, listen. This is going to be 15 minutes of straight fire. And here we go. Okay. Now, Justin Fields, everybody in Chicagoland, you got it. It's like a political landscape out here. Some people love him, some people hate him, some people indifferent of him, right? No one could agree on him. It's really the truth. So, what I want to say is a lot of people blamed Luke Getsy for the lack of growth on Justin Fields, for the Bears offense being terrible. A lot of that fell on Luke Getsy. Okay? Just so you know, Luke Getsy was the offensive coordinator for the Bears. Guess what? Luke Getsy got fired from the Bears, along with everybody on the offensive staff besides the offensive line coach, okay? Everyone else got fired. I'm talking wide receivers, running back coach, everybody. Luke Getsy, he gone. But then Luke Getsy gets fired, gets a lot of bad press in the Chicagoland area. Then he gets, let's just talk about the teams that they called him up and interviewed him. The Patriots, they've been pretty good, right? The Patriots, maybe not the last 2 years, but they interview him for their offensive coordinator job. The New Orleans Saints interview him twice. He's a finalist for the job. They just interviewed him 5 days ago for the second time. And then guess what? Today, he gets hired for the Las Vegas Raiders job. He's the offensive coordinator there. There's only 32 teams in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. He damn sure almost got like, what, 8% of them reached out to him and interviewed the guy. A little bit bigger than that percentage, right? So if he's so bad at his job, why are three different organizations trying to hire the guy? What happens is he wasn't the problem. He was part of the problem. The other part of the problem, ladies and gentlemen, was your quarterback that threw 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, and that's been injured pretty much every year of his career, because that's what happens. But he's missed games pretty much every year, Justin Fields, because Justin Fields is also part of the problem. He is a TikTok highlight. I'm not going to take that away from him. I think Justin Fields is a highlight waiting to happen. But are you feeling good down by 10 in the fourth quarter and Justin Fields has the ball in his hands and you got to throw down the field and score 2 touchdowns to get the lead? Probably not. Just saying. So Justin Fields is part of the problem too. He's not a game changer. He's not going to get you over the hump. He's just not. Is he a good, decent player? Yes. Do I think he has value and he could be successful in some shape or form? Yes. But at the same point, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to move on. Okay? It's time to move on. And that's what we're going to do here, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, don't get all wilding out when Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Bears, and Eberflus are building up Fields, because I don't believe they know what they're doing yet. I do believe it's probably 60 Caleb, 40 Fields. They're trying to, see where the trade value comes in and all of that stuff. But you're also going to hear nothing but good things from the Bears organization. And if you start hearing it a lot more in the recent come, in the next month, which I'm going to explain to you this timeline, that means they're trying to build up Fields the best they can, because they're probably going to be trading him. Okay. Now it comes to me. Well, what do you do with Fields, Tim? Well, here you go, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL Combine, okay, these are very, very important, is February 29th to March 3rd. That's important because you're going to be, all the GMs get together. Well, most of them, they're at the Combine, they're talking. This is the same thing that happened last year. Ryan Poles pretty much negotiated that new that Carolina deal and started getting the blood flowing around the trade environment and what he was going to have as offers for that first pick last year around the Combine. Also, March 13th, I believe, is the start of free agency. Why that's important? You have quarterbacks still on the market, right? You have Kirk Cousins. You have Baker Mayfield. You even have, which I can't wait for everyone to roll their eyes in their car, and I did too when I heard this, Gardner Minshew. I'm not saying Gardner's as good as Justin Fields. I'm not saying that. But he can be a plug-in, signable veteran. He wasn't a Pro Bowl. He did throw for 3,300 yards and 16 touchdowns, I believe, and 9 interceptions, I believe, is what he did. No, he did 15 and 9 in 13 games. But he could be a filler, and then they could draft like a J.J. McCarthy and have him sit behind. Another team could do that, right? He's not the greatest. He's a lower-tiered starting quarterback, but you don't want these guys going out and getting signed because then that lowers the amount of teams that you could trade Fields to, okay? Baker, Kirk Cousins, where are they going to land? Are they going to stay at their respected homes now? Are they going to be going out there and someone else is going to offer them? You have to get rid of Fields during this time between the NFL combined and before free agency, I do believe, so you can get the most value out of him, okay? You're not trading him on draft night. If you're trading him on draft night and you think that you're lowering value and hoping – that some quarterbacks get drafted way quicker than they're supposed to and a couple teams just fall on their face and they get very desperate, which I don't believe is going to happen, okay? Now, to Caleb Williams and why we should draft him. One, coaches in the college ranks and the NFL are comparing this guy to a generational talent on his ability to make plays, on his ability to throw. Then they're saying, no joke, that one of the best things about the dude is his nifty skills to run the ball too. He's got it all. He's the full package. Now, I understand this. When people want to beat up on Caleb Williams about things off the field, we'll get to that in a minute. But how about this? Caleb Williams has been a dog, an ultra competitor. Dude doesn't like losing at anything, okay? I will tell you this, some coaches, and now this is based on all the information I read through multiple sources, said, hey, when times get a little tough, he does get a little bit, that poor loser syndrome does show up a little bit. Sign of he needs to mature. He's also like 22 years old. I believe all people at 22 need to mature. So I'm not going to, falter the guy for that. But here's how he is a dog, okay? I want to let you know, Justin Fields transferred out of Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. He lost his job and didn't like how he wasn't getting full team reps over Jake Fromm, who was the Georgia coach when Justin Fields was there. Justin Fields transferred to Ohio State, okay? Caleb Williams came in and his dad interviewed all these schools and we could say whatever we want about Caleb's dad, but Caleb and his dad looked at all these schools. They chose Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma had Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler was coming off 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and was in every Vegas book across the country or every sports book across the country as the number one favorite to win the Heisman. Caleb came in there and just battled. And worked. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He didn't back down from the competition. That's what I like about him. He went in there, wasn't guaranteed anything besides that he was going to be able to play for a great coach at Oklahoma in a good offense and that he was going to be able to produce. But he came into practice every day and was putting in like he was the starter. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Spencer Rattler was benched for him during Caleb's freshman year. Well, Spencer Rattler had to have been terrible, Tim. Hey, the offense wasn't scoring as many points as Lincoln Riley wanted. That's a fact, right? But it's not like Spencer Rattler was that terrible. He had 11 touchdowns and 5 picks. It was just that Caleb was that good. When he came in, just to give a little boost to the offense, he started in as like, you know, hey, he's going to do a drive here or there. And then all of a sudden, he was just starting the entire game. I love that competitiveness. He didn't back down from a challenge. Okay? Now, everyone's going to say, well, I heard there's a lot of rumblings that he doesn't want to come to Chicago and things of that nature. And it's like, listen, his dad has been researching places for his son to play football at all over the places. His dad picked the same situation in high school. He chose the school that was like $25,000 a year, I guess, for Caleb to go there. It's called Gonzaga High School, which is in Washington. And his dad chose him to go there. And guess what? Caleb showed up. They didn't guarantee him anything. They were like, hey, you know, the kid's not going to necessarily be the starting quarterback. He's coming in as a freshman. Caleb put in the work, showed what he could do behind closed doors. And guess what? He won the starting role. What I like is he's not been given anything. He's battled and won these jobs. High school, his dad helped him pick out. College, and then guess what? Everyone's like, well, he went and played at Oklahoma. He definitely did. Then Lincoln Riley left, and everyone thought, well, hey, Caleb's going to USC for sure. Well, guess what? His dad interviewed 20-some colleges, talked about what type of setup they were going to have, what offenses they were going to run, what kind of position players that were going to be there. Obviously, he chose to go to USC and Lincoln Riley, and it panned out. He won the Heisman. And then last year, a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people are like, Caleb had a bad year. I want to let you guys know about this. And we're going to talk about Caleb threw 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, okay? But he was crying in his mom's arms after that game that they lost, Tim. He's a crybaby. Bro, he's a, if anything you could say, the kid hates to lose. He's kind of a poor loser, right? When he loses, he cries. I would expect most people to cry when they lose, okay? Have some passion. He cried in his mom's arms because guess what he wanted? He wanted to win a national championship while in college, and he knew it was all done. When they lost that game, he knew it was a wrap. And that killed his soul. That killed his soul. His mother is, he's very, very close with. Well, Tim, what do you mean? How do you know he's very close? Well, because I do a little research. It's called the internet. It's called looking at people that he went to that got interviewed, from coaches to when he played into different quarterback groups that you go to. You can go to these quarterback camps, things of that nature. I've been a fan of Caleb since he took Spencer Rattler's job. But also, Caleb's been painting his nails, and I know that's going to get a lot of grief over here in the next couple weeks. It's because his mom was a nail technician. He is very, very close to his parents. And listen, if you have any children, and if you don't, that's okay. But if you do have children, you know that the mother is the number one person when a kid gets hurt. It's normally the kids when they're younger are running to their mother. The mom is the nest egg of the dude. She runs the support system in the house. That's just a fact. I got 3 kids. That's what happens. The mom runs the ship like that. The dad might steer it, you know, but he's very, very close to his mother. So when people cry about his nails being painted, do some research. When they cry for him, cry literally about him getting upset after the game in his mom's eyes and stuff, dude is pissed off. He lost. He's sad as hell. Oh, he could have went in the locker room and cried. Who cares? Who cares? You get mad when he's talking shit to the other team, and then you're upset when he's crying because he just lost and realized he's never winning a national championship, and that's why he came to USC and Oklahoma to do, and that one of his long life dreams was to win a Heisman and a national championship, and one of them got crushed. That's called emotion, ladies and gentlemen. Not everybody has to show their emotion in anger, because when you show your emotion in anger, that's a form of weakness, okay? And also, watch a Jimmy V video. He tells you. He fought cancer. He said, cry, laugh. You should do all the emotions in a day. So I think you little step back, people. Step back to my boy Caleb, okay? Also, there's a lot of talk about Caleb's dad. I'm going to bring it back. Caleb's dad wanted equity in a team. His dad did say a bunch of outlandish things. His dad is. His dad is very, very worried about having his son set up for success. As a dad and a father, you want that. You want a strong support system, okay? There's people in this world that we knock people for not having a dad, then we knock people for having too good of a support dad. It's like everyone wants to just be just gray in the gray area. But listen, Caleb's dad wants to set him up for success, because everybody that knows the NFL, your second contract is the most important one. That's the generational wealth, okay? Also, his dad spent a lot of time, invested a lot of energy into his son, because he wants his son to be successful, and I would expect that. Did he say outlandish things? Yes. But also I would say, why is the dad getting interviewed for GQ magazine when the dad knows he has to say something absurd to catch a line, you know, to catch attention? So his dad owns some sort of contracted company, so he said equity, because that's what his dad knows. He's not getting equity in the NFL. I do not believe that he's not going to play for the Bears or any of that hoopla that you hear. Now, well, Tim, what are you talking about? The Washington Redskins just hired Cliff Kingsbury, and Washington's all in, and Caleb Williams is from the Washington, D.C. area. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to break something down to you. It's called a math equation, and here's the math. Washington, new owner, bought the team for $6 billion. Bob Myers, he was the orchestrator and architect for the Golden State Warriors, okay? He's now running that team too, right? They got their third offered head coach. They got their third. Well, what do you mean, Tim, their third? Well, they hired one other guy at the job. They couldn't meet on money. They couldn't. The guy bought the team for $6 billion, and he was penny pitching Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions. Listen, Ben Johnson would have taken that job had the money and the contract been right. They were worried about the length of the contract, the money in the contract. That's why they didn't get a deal done. It was based on money. Also, then Washington wants the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. Pretty good year. Defensive was phenomenal for the Ravens. Okay, right? They even played pretty decent in the playoffs. They didn't give up 30-some points to a first-year starting quarterback. Nope, that was Dan Quinn who they hired. But let's take it a step back. They couldn't get the defensive coordinator from the Ravens because they didn't offer him enough money. Okay, so then they settled for Dan Quinn, who is the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Listen, you don't have to be worried about Washington. Unless they're going to offer us everything that they currently own and all their good players and give us some ridiculous deal, they're not moving to number one. They're too cheap, too arrogant, and too cheap. Caleb Williams is not going to Washington. I'm telling you, unless they offer us two starting players, two draft picks, their pick, their second round pick, and, you know, maybe half their financial wealth, all of them combined. It ain't happening, okay? Washington's too cheap, too arrogant, not happening. But here's the deal. Caleb is a winner on the football field. And go look. Oh, well, Justin Fields didn't have enough supporting cast. That's what I hear from people. I hear that from friends. I hear that on the talk show. It's like, guys, why don't you go look at Caleb Williams? He made these dudes good. Dudes that weren't even in the spotlight of getting drafted as wide receivers. Now they might go third round. Why don't you go look? He didn't have Jordan Addison this year, and he still put up 30-5. The dude's a dog. I do believe you're going to hear a lot of nonsense. But if Ryan Poles gets in that room, talks to Caleb, shows him the plan, I think it's going to be fine. And also, if you're the father of a kid, wouldn't you worry about your son coming to the Bears? They have a curse, like I discussed. They have never had a great quarterback yet until now. I'm telling you, it changes. We have a better foundation. Poles is doing a great job. He's building around it. And then also, here's my last 2 minutes. I know I'm at 20 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. The Bears need to sign a good wide receiver. I don't care if you sign a 2-year contract with Mike Williams and overpay, or Mike Evans and overpay him, or you pay an extra $1 or $2 million per year and you get Michael Pittman, but you get a number two. That's a legit number two for whatever quarterback. For Caleb Williams is what I want. You come in there and then boom, you support your rookie quarterback with two very good pass catchers, and then you also have Komet as your tight end position, and then you go out and you can draft on your ninth pick. You could draft a wide receiver as a rookie, or you can go out and you get a you try to get a second or third round if you're able to obtain one of those draft picks and get a wide receiver, or get it, look at a guy like Curtis Samuel. I know Josh Reynolds is not looking that great. He dropped the ball for the Lions, pretty much costing them that game. But you go out and you get a veteran as your third. But you have to go out and get I honestly say go out and get Michael Pittman, overpay for him. If he's not franchise tagged by the Colts, get him and then get a veteran center. You get a veteran center so can help the rookie quarterback set up the protection. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the center is the quarterback of the offensive line. He's helping with protections, and you need someone to help the quarterback with their, as a rookie, with the protections, keeping their own line intact, but keeping the kid in safety. So, like I said, important dates if you've been paying attention. I do believe this is the last month that Justin Fields is the last full month that Justin Fields is a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I think that the goal is, and what you should do, is have him traded by March 13th. Okay? So listen, you can say whatever you want. I know I took some shots at Justin Fields. I think he's a good dude. I don't think he's a horrible quarterback. I think that he's just not great. And when you have an opportunity to be great, you go with great. Good is okay. Good food from a restaurant, it's fine. You can go back there. Your pizza place is good. You want great? You go to a real Italian restaurant that's homemade food, okay? Okay? You see, if you know good food, you'll know the difference between good and great food. Don't settle for good, ladies and gentlemen. Go for great. Long story short, let's get Caleb Williams in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Let's break this curse. Curse breaking Chicago Bears. Let's go, Poles. Pick up that phone. Let's get it done, baby.